This is Andy Ho, host of the Continuing Education Series, a podcast produced for the members of the French Language Division of the American Translators Association, offering educational content about the craft of French to English and English to French translation and the division.
Megan McCallum is an ATA-certified French to English freelance translator specializing in international development, human resources, and marketing and communications. She holds a master's in language, literature, and translation from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and a bachelor's in French and English from Lawrence University. She has lived, worked, and studied in the US, Canada, France, and Senegal. Prior to starting her translation business in 2015, she worked for several years at a global language services provider in project and French quality management positions. Currently, Megan is the president of the Midwest Association of Translators and Interpreters and the coordinator of ATA's school outreach program. And from 2020 to 2023, she chaired ATA's membership committee. Welcome, Megan.
Thanks so much, Andy. I'm happy to be here.
Now, the reason I have called Megan here today is to discuss her experience being a board member on the ATA Board of Directors. To me, it sounds like a very exalted position, very terrifying and scary. So I wanted to break it down with you and selfishly kind of work it through, see what it's really all about, if it's as scary as it sounds, and maybe encourage other people to run.
So, absolutely. Yeah, I would be happy to have this conversation with you and yeah, in a nutshell, hopefully convince you that it's not so scary. It is a commitment and it's very rewarding, but I would say in fact, not scary.
Okay, good. That is something I have seen in lots of different organizations that are mostly volunteer run, is people feel like, you know, I'm not capable, I'm not qualified, I don't have the skills. So we'll discuss all that.
Absolutely.
So set the scene. How long have you been on the board, first of all?
So I was first elected to the board in 2018 for a 3-year term as director. And then I was reelected in 2021 for another 3-year term. So I am currently in my last year. I can't believe how quickly it's flown by. Two 3-year terms have just gone in a flash.
Are there term limits?
Yes. So for directors, they can serve 2 consecutive 3-year terms. So that's what I was just referring to with my 2 terms. And then for our officer positions, the president and president-elect each serve 1 2-year term. And then our secretary and treasurer serve for 3 years. Or wait, I might have to correct that. I'll have to double check the bylaws. If it's 3 years, I believe, and they have a 3-year term.
Okay. So it's all somewhere in there, 2-3 years for everybody.
Yes.
Okay. So you are done at the end of this term, but could you in theory run again in the future? Is that how that works?
So at this point, I cannot run for director right away once my term is up. If I was interested, I would be eligible to run for an officer position. And then let's say in some circumstances, let's say I was on the board in some capacity for 12 years straight, which I believe is quite uncommon, but I was just reviewing the bylaws and there is a note that there's a 12-year limit for consecutive service on the board. Yeah.
So wait, what's the difference between an officer and a director?
So our officers are, that's the term that we use for the president-elect, the secretary, and the treasurer. And then the directors are the other members of the board.
Okay. So the officers are sort of the named categories, if you will.
Yes, correct.
Okay. So, but then what's the difference between a board member and an HQ staff member?
So ATA headquarters has a really wonderful staff that runs the everyday, like day-to-day operations of ATA. And so they are paid full-time people, or some of them are not full-time, but we do have a nice crew of folks who are actual employees, and they run anything about, like, if you have questions about your membership, maybe signing up for a membership for the first time, maybe you have questions about registration for an event or a program. Really anything that's like day-to-day communications with members, advertising our various events, conferences, things like that. All of that is run by HQ, and they do a really fantastic job with our communications and member keeping in touch with members on the day-to-day. And then the board of directors is more of overseeing the governance of ATA, and we are all volunteers.
Okay, so you guys are not paid.
Correct. Yep, we're all volunteers.
Okay. So, did you volunteer for ATA in other capacities before you ran for the board, or did you just like make this giant leap?
I did volunteer for quite a while. So I was originally brought on as a volunteer with the school outreach committee, which is a project through the PR committee. So I was brought into the school outreach program in, I believe it was 2010 or 2011, and helping to organize that program for the school outreach contest, which recognizes a member each year who submits a photo of them speaking to students about careers in translation and interpreting. So I was quite involved with that program quite early on in my membership experience at ATA. And then just continued with that over the years. And then I ended up joining the membership committee as well several years later. And so I had had quite a few years of committee experience under my belt before running in the elections for a director position.
Okay, so you had started to become familiar with how things operate and kind of leading things, putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
Okay. So you talked about the board governs the ATA governance. What do you actually do concretely as a board member?
Sure. So our biggest kind of regular commitment that we have as board members is that we have quarterly board meetings. And one of those is always at the ATA annual conference in the fall. And then the other three are kind of split up between various cities that alternate or, rotate, change throughout the years. And then we have one of those four meetings is typically done as an online meeting as well. So in recent years, we've done our winter meeting, for example, as a virtual, excuse me, as a virtual Zoom meeting. So we attend these quarterly board meetings, and then in advance of those meetings, we each receive what we call the board book. And this book is a huge compilation of reports from all of ATA's various committees, special projects, task forces, language divisions, pretty much anything, any kind of project or group work that you could imagine that's happening in ATA. We have reports to read from each of those. So it's really great for us to get updates from all across the entire association and really make sure that we're cross-collaborating and keeping up to date with everything that's happening within our membership. And so we all review these reports before coming to the meetings. And then we come to the meetings and discuss them. And we help support the various committees if they have questions, if they need us to provide input on certain issues they may be facing or projects that they might be getting off the ground. We are all happy to come together and really join forces, join heads to provide solutions, input, whatever we can to support our members and their projects and helping to create the association that we all want to continue thriving in.
What kind of decisions do you make that the average freelancer may notice or may not notice?
Sure, yeah, that's a good question. I mean, the most noticeable one that you would probably see is that we review proposals for bylaws amendments, and if the board votes to do so, then we would put those on a ballot. that the membership votes on in each election. So if there's anything we want to change that's actually in the bylaws about how ATA is governed, we discuss that at length in the board meeting, and we come up with the wording that we might like to propose on a bylaws amendment. And then we bring that to the membership and we say, you know, this is what we have put together as a board. We've put in a lot of thought, a lot of discussion. This is why we think it's going to serve you as our members and our purpose and our mission. And we would like you all to vote on it. So that's a pretty visible way that you would see what we are actually tangibly working on and what might come out of a board meeting.
Okay. Are you required to be on a committee if you're a board member?
It's not required. I would say that it's quite common and it's absolutely encouraged. We wouldn't want anyone to be stretched too thin. So we wouldn't want anyone to overcommit to, you know, all the committees and all the projects. But it really does help to have like feet on the ground and have almost like a little specialty within your service to ATA and on the board. And then you can kind of have like a project that you're working on that you're supporting. And kind of like what I mentioned before, when we come together as a board and we cross collaborate, it's really nice if you can bring even more inside information about, you know, this is what our project is working on, this is what our committee is working on, and being able to report directly within the board meeting is really helpful. And it tends to be a nice way to kind of keep that momentum going from the committee work into the board meeting itself, and then back to the committee once the board meeting is over.
So it's kind of like senators being on like the Ways and Means Committee in Washington or something like that, yeah?
Yeah. I think, you know, it really helps to have like a special project that you have in your kind of everyday work. And then you can also focus on that as part of your service to the board too.
How much time does your board position take up in your everyday life? I mean, are we talking like 20 hours a week, 90 hours a week, 1 hour a year?
I would say it tends to be busiest around the board meetings. So like I was referring to that board book. I would say the week or so leading up to a board meeting can involve at least several hours of reading, if not more, and just reading the book, really taking notes, making sure that you're prepared and that you're aware of what's going on with various committees before you come to the meeting. So that's certainly a good chunk of the week leading up to a meeting. And then also speaking with members and collecting their feedback, asking them, you know, we have a board meeting coming up. Is there anything that you would like us to, that you'd like us to take note of? You know, tell me your feedback before I go to the meeting. So that's definitely tends to be a busier time as a board member. Other than that, throughout the year, it definitely depends on committee work. It depends on, if things come up that the board needs to discuss, maybe just over email, but not through an official meeting, there could be like an hour here and there, but it's certainly, I would say, you know, several hours a month is kind of typical.
Okay. So here's another gauge maybe. Is it enough that does it affect your work life at all? Does it, you know, bump paid work aside, or is it something that you're able to slip into the cracks?
I would say for the most time, it's quite manageable, especially for me as a freelancer, where if I do have board commitments, I can usually be flexible with the time of those. So I can say, you know, I have this paid project where I have a deadline, so I'm going to focus on that today. And then I'm going to carve out some time later once I finish with that project, once I meet that deadline. I can usually make those both work, and they're quite flexible with the timeline. The only time where it's, you know, I really have to block my schedule and I cannot take on anything else would be if I am physically at a board meeting, maybe I'm traveling that day, something like that. So I wouldn't say that it for me, it doesn't typically involve turning away much actual paid work.
Okay. So you volunteered for ATA previously in various capacities. Now you've been a board member for many years, and you ran for president at this past fall. How to ask this? Like, did you always envision yourself running for president eventually? Like, did you have this trajectory you envisioned yourself on, or was it sort of the natural outgrowth of, you know, one thing led to another?
I would say more on the the natural progression side. When I originally was approached to consider running as a director, I had what you mentioned at the beginning of our chat. I had this, kind of moment of imposter syndrome of, well, who am I to be a director? What do I have to bring? What kind of ideas and input do I have that's of value? And that was, I think that's quite common for many people to feel that. And so when I first ran for director, I considered it and felt, after discussing with colleagues and really receiving reminders that yes, you do, your voice does matter, your experience does matter, and age should not be, at the time I was gosh, how old was I in 2018? 32? Yes. And so, I thought, oh, maybe I'm too young for this, or all these excuses or reasons why we feel like maybe we're not cut out for something. But ultimately, I did run, and I really do think it's important for all voices, all experiences, all backgrounds to be represented on the board. And yeah, so I'm glad to be serving and to have had the privilege to work on a lot of really interesting and fulfilling projects with the board. And yeah, so ultimately I was encouraged to run as a director and just naturally progressed and eventually was asked if I would run as president-elect and felt that, yeah, with the experience on the board and really knowing how things work and having again worked on a lot of really interesting projects over the years, it just felt like a good time to step up and take on that additional responsibility.
Do you feel like your previous volunteer experience paved the way for that, made it less scary to be a director and then to run for president?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think over the years, it's the more that you become involved in ATA, not necessarily even on the board, but just in committees, going to conferences, even going to our online events, the more you become involved, the more it really is this sense of community, this sense of supporting each other, and that we all have each other's backs. And so it's something that the more I gain that experience over the years, the more I really realize that we're all in this together. This is all us, serving the greater good of ATA in whatever way that looks like for us. So for some people, it's a committee work. For some people, it's a program or event. And this really just felt like a natural progression of, yeah, I think I am ready to take on this role, and it feels natural, and it feels like I'm in this home of colleagues who are we're all really supporting each other.
So what would you say to someone who is considering, running for the board, but even volunteering for a division or any aspect? Because I've met so many people who are seem a little curious, but they say, well, I don't know how to do anything. I don't really have any particular opinions or passions or skills. What would you say to someone like that?
Sure. I would say that your voice is valued and that your skills, your time, your expertise, all of those have value. Period. I mean, everybody here, I think, has something to contribute. And if you truly feel passionate about something, that your expertise and your willingness to step up is always going to be appreciated, no matter how much of a commitment you're able to make, as long as you are willing to come forward, there's always going to be someone who is more than happy to collaborate with you and really help you. Not only are you going to contribute to the greater good of ATA, but you can also gain skills that you might be seeking. So maybe you are looking for practice with taking on more of a leadership role. So for example, when I started chairing the membership committee, that was really good practice to start, leading meetings, keeping track of projects, figuring out where we want to place our priorities for that month. If you are looking for an opportunity to really hone those skills and kind of up the leadership a little bit, then that's a great way to get started with it.
Do you feel your experience was any different from some of the other board members because you were younger than most of them?
Oh, good question. I'm not sure if the age factor really made the experience greatly different. I mean, I'm sure, everything all plays some type of role in the overall experience, but I think what might be different for me specifically was that I was kind of one of the earlier folks in the wave of people who had taken a who had completed a graduate program in translation, because years ago, I mean, that wasn't really even offered. And so there is now this whole new wave of many different graduate programs in translation and interpreting, and I'm so thrilled to see those happening and to see students coming out of those and emerging into the world of translation and interpreting and joining ATA. I think it's really fantastic. So I think that was maybe one kind of factor that for me really played a role in my transition onto the board was that I was part of this somewhat new-ish wave of people who had completed a graduate program in translation and interpreting.
Okay, that's very interesting. Well, do you have anything else that you'd like to add?
Let's
Words of
see.
wisdom for the public?
Well, I would encourage anyone, I mean, again, no matter what kind of role you might be interested in taking on as a volunteer, it's always your time and your expertise is always welcome and always encouraged. And even if you need some guidance on where exactly to put your time and efforts, and you have an interest in something but you're not quite sure where it would fit, folks are always happy to chat and help you make that next step, make some connections. So I would say everyone's welcome, and we would love to hear from you in whatever capacity that looks like for you.
Okay, so people can reach out to you or to other volunteers if they're interested but kind of don't know what to do, where to go.
Yes.
Oh, that's great. That's very helpful.
And one last word. I'm pulling up the bylaws right now to double check, because my memory on the term of the officers lapsed for a moment there. So the all of the officers, so that's president-elect, secretary, treasurer, and president, those are all 2-year terms. And then
Okay.
the difference is that the secretary and treasurer can serve 3 of those 2-year terms if they
Okay.
choose. If they choose and they are elected.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Of
This was
course.
all
Thanks so
very good
much for having me, Andy.
information.
Yeah, my pleasure.
This concludes our episode for today. You can subscribe to the Continuing Education Series podcast on SoundCloud or iTunes by searching for Continuing Education Series. You can contact the FLD at divisionfld@atanet.org, visit our website at www.ata-divisions.org/FLD, or get in touch with us on social media. This is Andy Ho signing off. Thanks for listening, and a bientôt.